Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
A few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
All right, Senator, welcome aboard. The president was acquitted. We know you were hoping it would result otherwise. There was enough proof to impeach him, I guess, or the Democrats thought. Does this just prove that as long as you're a Democrat, you feel one way? If you're a Republican, you feel another. It's pretty clear that this was voted among party lines.
Except for Mitt Romney, who was really a profile in courage. Yes, it was along party lines. It was the first impeachment where a member of the president's own party voted to convict him. It was also the first impeachment trial where no evidence, no witnesses, no documents were considered. So it was really more a sham than a real trial without any vindication or victory or acquittal for the president. And so I think that really the court of appeals here is the court of public opinion, which will have its say in November.
But I have to say, Senator, because we kind of anticipated that it was going to get to this point and we had a very good feeling that he was probably going to get acquitted. He was not going to get impeached. To me, I'm just wondering, do you guys now feel, do lawmakers now feel like this was either a waste of time, a waste of energy, or that this, you know, brought upon, you know, some big things that going forward with the president, you know, like to me, so maybe I'm wrong, but to me, I felt with bringing this forward, if you felt he should have been, you know, impeached, well, now we've just allowed a man to continue in office. But if you didn't feel he should be impeached, this was kind of a waste of money. Does that make sense? Like, what did we get out of all of this?
Well, the public was educated. It saw firsthand some very brave and forthright public servants, diplomats like Bill Taylor and Marie Yovanovitch, soldiers like Vladimir Vinovin, people who came forward with the truth at great cost or risk to themselves. And so I think that it was a time for the public to understand why we did it, namely corrupt abuse of power by the president for his own benefit. He held taxpayer money hostage for a struggling ally in return for a demand that Ukraine investigate and smear his political rival. It impacted national security as well as invited foreign interference in our election. And I think the House felt it had a duty to act. And then, of course, the Senate had no choice because we have to try the case. It was relatively short. My hope is now we can go back to the business of the people on roads and bridges and other kinds of infrastructure, health care, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, as well as better education, particularly skill training, so we can fill those jobs at Electric Boat and Sikorsky and Pratt & Whitney. There'll be thousands of new jobs or openings for new people. And I think that now is the time to move on.
You know, but the question is, and maybe you disagree, but can we move on? You know, at the State of the Union address, the president finished up. Nancy Pelosi stuck out her hand. He refused to shake it. She rips up the speech. I'm watching this, and I was like, oh, my God, this is like a daycare center here. Are we going to be able to move along past this?
I can speak only for myself and my friends in the Senate. We are certainly going to work together on those priorities. Whether we get to the finish line remains to be seen, but everybody, whether it's a red state or blue state, has roads and bridges that need repair and rebuilding. Everybody is affected by pharmaceutical drug prices spiraling out of control. I have measures on those and other issues like skill training for welders, electricians, young men and women, people of all ages who can fill those jobs, and I hope we can move forward on a bipartisan basis. But if the president's mission here is simply to inflame and exacerbate, he will, in effect, fail to lead. And what he needs to do is lead or get out of the way.
All right, Senator, we have run out of time here. We thank you so much for taking a few minutes, and we'll talk to you next Thursday, hopefully.
Wonderful. See you then.
A look back at the most significant event today in history. Well, according to Tony and Melissa.
WICC 600.
All right, 68 years ago, 1952, King George VI, he died in his sleep, which immediately elevated his daughter Elizabeth to the throne as the new Queen of England. Her official coronation wasn't until 16 months later on June 2nd, 1953, but she's still there sitting on the throne,
yeah,
ruling with an iron hand. She's 93 years old, 68 years of continuous service. She was 25 years old when her father died, and she's still doing her thing. And because she lived so long, some people aren't going to get their turn.
Yeah, right? Could you believe that? I mean, and also, Tony, think about that for a second. So her coronation happened only, what, a few years after World War II wrapped up? I mean, she's lived through a lot of stuff.
I mean,
when you think about that, that's wild.
Yep. And quite a lady, too, still hanging in there at the age of 93. 49 years ago, 1971. Now, for some reason, astronaut Alan Shepard, he hit the first golf ball on the moon. And I thought that he hit the golf ball and it just kept going forever and ever and ever. He used a 6-iron and the ball flew about 300 yards. That's all. Not miles and miles and miles, but nonetheless, it was a significant event way back then.
Okay, the center's so stiff, I can't do it with two hands, but I'm going to try a little sand trap shot here. They got more dirt than ball inside. More dirt than ball. Here we go again.
That looked like a slice to me, Al.
There we go. Three of the die. One more. Miles and miles and miles.
It was a slice, Al. Give him a break. He's in space.
I know, right? And miles and miles and miles. So, yeah, no, it only went, 300 yards?
That's about it.
Well, I mean, that's still pretty cool. Those are funny moments, I feel, that kind of get overlooked, you know, like what's going on up there? And I did always think kind of the same thing, Tony, with gravity and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe the ball was just kind of floating at this point. Like maybe it's just sort of its own little planet. It's just kind of hanging out there in space somewhere.
Right.
Which is hilarious. When did that happen?
That happened in 1971.
Yeah. So, I mean, can you imagine like you go up there now and, you know, 40, whatever many years later, you still see the ball just kind of floating out there.
There you go. See, I was never a golfer, and I come from a long line of golfers.
Oh,
They're not good golfers, but nonetheless, they were passionate about the sport. My father, my uncles, my cousins. I never could get the hang of it or be patient enough for it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I'm the only Sheck in the Sheck house who does not know how to golf. Literally, I have 4 siblings. My mom and dad, well, obviously my dad went to school for golfing. My younger brother works in Disney at the golf courses. So they're big into golf. But like my mom, she knows how to play. My sisters even know how to play. They even have their own golf sets, everything. I've taken 2 lessons, Tone, and I'm just an awful golfer. But I will say there's nothing more relaxing than on a Sunday afternoon. Like if the Masters are on, I'm watching it. I love it. I find golf to be so relaxing. I could sit and watch it. Maybe take a snooze and then you miss nothing because all of a sudden you end up at the 17th hole and I'm happy about
that. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I could watch golf on a Sunday afternoon laying on the couch with a bag of Doritos on my belly and just, you know, just veg out and watch. It's very relaxing.
It is, and golf allows you to do that. It's the one sport that it actually allows you to relax.
You heard it on Melissa's news. Bridgeport police say there are fake license plates being detected in our city. Now, do you have one? If you do, police said you could face financial and legal trouble. And, we spoke, or Melissa spoke, to Chief A.J. Perez, and he explained the problem. And, let's see what he has to say.
The plate itself is actually a scam. The plates are not legitimate plates. They are not a legitimate registration, and they are not legitimately insured by the dealer or anyone giving them to whoever is getting them. If anybody has these plates, they should be aware of it, that their car can be pulled over, that they can be ticketed or arrested for not having insurance, and their vehicles will be towed. If they are paying money for these plates, either a one-time deal or consistently on a monthly basis, they're being scammed.
All right. Very interesting.
They're weird, Tony, because I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's hard because we're on the radio, so you can't see the visual of it. But these plates actually say that they're from a Texas dealership, which is really odd. So that's kind of what tipped off DMV officials and the Bridgeport police. But then when they kind of looked at it a little bit more, they realized that these were fraudulently sold by the local business GRS Tin Shop, which in Bridgeport, that's at Grand and Heard Streets. If you have heard of it or if you've been there, you definitely should check your plate. The plate number that they gave us that came across that they're looking for is 52211, P as in Paul, 9. Well, I mean, it just looks legitimate, though. That's what's kind of crazy about it. Like, at first when it came up, I thought, what are we looking at here? But then when you look at some of the details, police clearly can catch on to the fact that this is completely bogus.
But here's my question to you, and please forgive my ignorance, okay? There's a lot of ignorance when it comes to Tony Reno. but you mean you've got these plates on your car and you don't realize it? Or these are people that are paying for the plates.
They're paying.
Okay, so you know you're breaking the law. This isn't something that...
I don't know. That's a good question. Because that might be ignorant. Maybe it's ignorant on my part, too. Because they did say, you know, so when talking to AJ Perez, it sounded like he's saying, you know, like, look, maybe you don't realize you're being...
Right.
You're being duped.
Right.
And I think it's more of that. I think they don't realize they're being duped. But I think the problem is, what he was saying, is that if you're paying every month for either these new registration fees, whatever this company is scamming you into, these people are getting new registrations, new license plates. I'm not sure the whole, it's very confusing, but they're saying, look, like, this business is distributing illegal out-of-state plates, and they're scamming people out of money. But, and now they've got to deal with the legal issues. I mean, you could get arrested for having a fake plate and not even knowing it.
It sounds like, from that piece and from what we read, AJ Perez and the Bridgeport Police Department are not going to have any patience for this.
In other words, I had no idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're not going to allow that.
Yes.
So if you think you're going to talk your way out of it, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think you're going to be fined and you're going to have to pay. Who knows? Maybe you could be arrested. You know?
Right, right. You know? I do think, though, they are saying if it's, I agree with you, Tone, but I do think there's the other side that if you were approached, so let's just say you are, you know, of even the older demographic or even my generation, younger demographic, younger than me, and you're approached by somebody saying, hey, you know what? You want temporary plates, we'll give them to you cheaper. Don't bother going to the DMV. Well, think about it. Think about it this way, though, Tone. Think about it. The DMV, as much as we all, I mean, I respect the DMV and they're wonderful. Those lines, when you're talking about waiting an hour and a half, 2 hours, if a company came to you and said to you, hey, you know what? We can get that done much quicker. A lot of people would oblige and say, all right, yeah, no, I'd rather get it done quicker. You know, and it's not that far-fetched. I mean, there was a time where AAA used to do your licenses. They'd renew it in 5 minutes and that was the end of it. They don't do it really anymore. But it's not that far-fetched that, okay, well, maybe there is a quicker way and people just don't know about it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what is tripping people up, that they're finding people are going to a third party, if you will. But these guys are illegitimate. They're taking your money and you're getting nothing
so
out of it.
So you're just better off biting the bullet.
Go to the DMV.
Go to the DMV. You know you're going to be in line for a couple of hours and you're going to be there for a few hours. Just do it.
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be a bit of a headache, but nothing like the headaches that you're going to have to receive if you do this illegally.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and they can't track that money, Tone. Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, they have arrested the people at this business in Bridgeport.
Oh, once you've paid it, the money's gone.
That's just it. You're not getting that money back. And now you've also got to pay for any legal fees. So if you get arrested, you got to pay for that. And then if you get a fine because they find that they tow your car, you're paying for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and then on top of it, you still got to go to the DMV. And now you got to pay for all
there
that, you know, so just don't cut corners.
Not worth it.
Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600, sponsored by Selco Heating and Air Conditioning.
You know, last night, Governor Lamont, he gave his State of the State address. Now, in the beginning, he really applauded Connecticut's economic growth and businesses across the state. He even singled out Stanford, which was cool. He said, quote, World Wrestling Entertainment has taken over the world's largest finance trade and will be turning it into one of the world's largest digital production studios. He continued by saying, citywide, there's more than $6 billion in development underway just in Stanford alone. But then he gets down to what we thought is Connecticut's biggest downfall, and that's securing better paying jobs and keeping people in Connecticut. Now, we've got a snippet of his 44-minute speech, and we're going to play it for you right here and now. So take a listen.
All right, Connecticut, we got our mojo back. But that only matters if we have an economy that works for everybody, starting with a vibrant and growing middle class. So neither Connecticut nor the middle class can grow, number one, unless we're preparing everybody of the next generation to get the job done. And the revamped Governor's Council has assembled one of the most talented, ambitious state workforce boards in the country, led by my friend Garrett Moran. It includes our state's biggest employers and small. It includes educators, nonprofits, state agencies, and our unions to make sure that Connecticut maintains the best training pipeline in the nation. Look, I've said it many times. Connecticut has always had the best trained, most productive, best educated workforce in the world. And it's getting more competitive out there, so we got to fight to keep up.
And you know, the only way that you're going to keep people in Connecticut, the only way that you're going to keep retirees in Connecticut, I mean, for the young people, you've got to secure these better paying jobs. I mean, you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you left for a little while.
Yep.
You're back now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you need those two incomes in order to make things work.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right, Tone. I mean, for the last on and off 10 years, Derek and I lived in Vermont, came back to Connecticut, realized we could not survive here, left again, and then we came back. And, you know, while Derek has a pretty solid job, I mean, let's be honest, the reason he has a pretty solid job is because he works in our family company that there's few and far between of those in Connecticut. So it's pretty successful. But I mean, I can't speak for, you know, a lot of people in my generation who they are struggling. I mean, there's no way to live in Connecticut if you don't have your family support, as in moving back in with your parents so you get on your feet, unless you have dual income. You know, it's funny, but a lot of people always ask, you know, why not have four or five kids like your mom had? Because I'm one of five kids. Are you serious? Where would you like me to get the money to not only take care of those kids, but to also put them through college?
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. It's not possible. These are different times. There's no way an average income and an average household can have more than, I'd say, two kids without struggling. It's just very difficult. You have two kids, and it's not easy to put them through college and to get them on their feet. I told you,
my son, he had an academic scholarship, and it still cost $100,000 mm-hmm. because he wanted to stay at the school.
Right.
So it still was a burden on us. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like, hey, this is great. You got the scholarship. Hey, we'll see you in 4 years.
Right.
You know,
it
didn't work that way. Not at all.
No. And I'm finding even, you know, that we've seen news in the last couple of weeks that UConn is upping their, you know, how much they're charging even for in-state students. You know, like my babysitter who watches Chase, she's got a senior in high school, and she was just talking to me and she said, Melissa, I would love for my son to stay here. She's only got one child. She would love for him to stay in Connecticut. And, you know, in this kid, my heart breaks for him because it is significantly less if you live at home. But he's like, Ma, I just want to experience college. I just want, you know, I don't care if I have to work. And he's getting a job and he's getting scholarships. But it's still, mm-hmm. you know, she's like, I'll be lucky, Melissa, if I could pay for his first year of college. Like, he's going to have to take out loans. And that's staying in Connecticut. He doesn't really want to leave the state. He loves his parents and his friends,
mm-hmm.
but he wants the experience on campus. But you're talking about that could be a $15,000, $20,000 difference. And it's not fair that kids, you know, like, I think there were more options, you know, beforehand that you could go live on campus and you could go and experience these things. College is so expensive now, it doesn't matter if you're in state at college. You should probably go to a trade school.
And by the time he pays off that loan, it'll be time to retire.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. how do you retire when all of your money went to the student
loans?
Exactly.
That's right.
That's the whole thing. And, mm-hmm. especially, and even retirees, you look at the other side, a lot of them are pulling out of Connecticut because it's just too darn expensive.
Or they're not stopping work.
Or you're not stopping work. You've got that thing in your head, oh, there's going to be a day where I'm going to be able to do what I want to do for mm-hmm. a few years. And it's that dream is fizzling out.
I agree.
It really, really is.